Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
We're on the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes in caves. Going to cons is all.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Long Box, guys. My name is Tom, and with me, as always, is some of my best friends since I was a little kid, and today it's a very special episode for a lot of reasons, but mostly it's because we had so much fun with our Angel podcast, we decided to end that with the X-Men, and we're going to go straight on to our year-end in review. Everything and all things about 2017, and what a year it was. But before we get into that, Josh, how are you doing, and what are you drinking?
Still slightly itchy, and I am drinking Epic's New England-style India Pale Ale called Praise the Haze, and it is okay. It's just okay.
Just okay is fine. You're still cleaning out the fridge, right?
Yeah.
Got to clean out that beer fridge for 2018, baby. Tommy, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
My throat is a little scratchy, so I am drinking Trader Joe's Canadian whiskey because nothing coats your throat like Trader Joe's Canadian whiskey. If you only got $15, you're probably going to buy Trader Joe's Canadian whiskey because you wish you had more money to buy a better whiskey.
Trader Joe's Canadian whiskey, made in Wisconsin. Mike, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I am doing excellent, and I am drinking a screwdriver made with Absolute Vodka.
Anything else in there, or is this a slutty screwdriver?
No, it's just a regular old screwdriver. I mean, I am on the final round of my antibiotics for my bronchitis.
Oh, so playing it safe, which is vodka and orange juice.
That's right. I mean, I don't want to screw up anything.
Yeah. Not just vodka and vodka, like usually in that cup.
Exactly.
All right, so we're going to go over some of the year-end stuff. We have a whole list. Let's start with best ongoing DC title. Mike, go.
I'm going to have to go with Batman by Tom King. It has been rocking it this year between the war of riddles and jokes, the button crossover. He has been nailing it on Batman. And there's a reason why it's always the number one best-selling ongoing comic, because it's just phenomenal.
Oh, LT has raised a glass, so I think he's going to agree with you. Is that right?
I'm going to agree. Drink.
All right, drink. Josh, do you have an ongoing DC?
Yeah, I know it's early. It's early in the title, but I am loving the return of my friend, Mr. Miracle.
Yeah, I've heard great things about that.
So I know we're only, I only have four issues. So I don't know if there's probably one sitting in a bin at my comic shop, but I haven't been there like a month. So yeah, I'm going to go with that. I'm liking the comeback.
That was one of my honorable mentions, and it is also by Tom King.
Yeah.
Oh, two in a row there for Tom King.
Killing it. Yeah.
I'm going to go a little off script there because I'm not picking at Tom King. I'm going with Amanda Palmer, Harley Quinn. Does that count as an ongoing title because it's coming to an end?
Yes, it still counts.
All right, it still counts. I loved a lot. I missed a few of the issues. I got to go back and buy some. I thought the writing was fun. A little bit not exactly what I like, but, you know, I liked getting outside of my box a little bit. It was a little different for me. The artwork, once again, not my normal taste, but still terrific. I really enjoyed it.
I think that's all of us. Do you guys have any honorable mentions?
I would say as an honorable mention, the death of Hawkman that you recommended, I liked. He wasn't the Hawkman I grew up with, but it was still a good storyline.
He was the Hawkman you deserved.
Thank you for paying attention to that podcast. I actually did not recommend it.
You recommended it to me.
That's true. That's right. I recommended it to only LT, and LT enjoyed it. So, yeah, you're right.
There you go. You nailed it, Mike.
For honorable mentions, I got to throw Black Lightning out there.
Yeah, the new Tony Isabella Black Lightning. I don't understand why it's only a 6-issue miniseries, though. They should just make it a regular series.
No argument there. Yeah.
And yeah. We got to throw in the Flintstones.
Oh, yeah. Is that a DC title? I was going to put that as...
But it's over.
The only reason...
It's amazing.
Yes, it was amazing.
But we all ranted and raved about it last year, so that's why I didn't add it as the best comic of the year. But yes, that is one that has to have an honorable mention.
Then drink, because that's my miniseries.
Okay.
So everyone drink? I'll re-say that during the miniseries part, because that was awesome. I just bought the collection, and man, just some fun, crisp, introspective writing. A great ride. I'll talk a little bit more about it during the miniseries. So let's talk about the best ongoing Marvel titles. I have a couple ties on this one. This was a good year for Marvel for me. Why don't we start with you, LT?
I pretty much love all the Star Wars ones that they're doing. I mean, I really like the Obi-Wan series that they did, and the Dr. Aphra.
There we go. That's the one I'm drinking too.
Really, really like. So that's my pick for the Marvel.
Well, that was one of my ties. The Dr. Aphra I thought was awesome. Vader Down was the year before, right?
Yep. Vader Down was the year before.
Well, yep. That's why that one didn't make it. Josh, how about you?
I'm going to agree with Tom that I've loved a lot of Poe Dameron. I like the Poe Dameron series. I do like a lot. I didn't even expect to like Star Wars comic books at all, honestly. I expected to just get angry every time they freaking kicked my cannon in the balls and screwed with something that I didn't want screwed with. And after you guys jammed Vader down, my lightsaber throat. Ever since then, I've been reading a lot of the Star Wars titles. Captain Phasma, Poe, and Vader.
How's Phasma?
It's good. It's good.
I got to read that.
She is this generation's Boba Fett. There, I said it.
Ooh. All right.
But for me, it was Ms. Marvel. I really liked reading Ms. Marvel. It's fun. It's flight of fancy. It's stretchy folks, except for Mr. Fantastic, have not gotten their fair share of comic time recently, and I'm in on Ms. Marvel.
Stretchy folks is the worst name for a folk band ever.
Is it?
Well, Mikey, how about you?
Well, Ms. Marvel was actually one of my honorable mentions, but for me, the defining Marvel comic of the year is The Mighty Thor. When we go back and look at Thor, the Walt Simonson's run in the 80s was probably the most iconic Thor series that they've ever had until this run by Jason Aaron. Even though Jane Foster is Thor, not Odin's son, it is still the best Thor comic I have ever read.
I'll have to read a few because I love the 80s run of Thor, especially when he was out in space and trying to find his way back. That's one of my all-time favorite Thor runs. For me, it was a really tough one for me because I love Dr. Aphra. But, I mean, the Luke Cage Iron Fist run, even though it came to an end, that was my favorite run of the year. That was so much fun to read. Introduced a bunch of new characters, reintroduced Mr. Fish and a bunch of other characters. That I've never really got to know. I had a great time getting to know all those characters again. I had a great time with that. I also really loved the Hellcat series. A lot of fun to read. Once again, that was way outside of my normal comfort zone. You know, it was more, I think, for a younger audience. There wasn't much violence. It was toned down. There was a lot of, just chatting amongst people about feelings and emotions. Not my normal go-to, but the writing was so good and the artwork was so different that I had a great time with it.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to have to agree with you. The only reason that they didn't make my list, they would have been honorable mentions because they got canceled, right? Which was a shame because they were both phenomenal books, as was Moon Knight by Jeff Lemire. Now, Moon Knight still has an ongoing title now. They've started it over again with Legacy. But the Jeff Lemire stuff was phenomenal.
Wait, I got one more I got to mention. The Doctor Strange series, where all of magic was wiped out and redone. Now, that is probably my favorite. I think that just slightly beats out everything for me. I'm really enjoying the Doctor Strange stuff right now.
So let me tell you why you're going to like Mighty Thor, because it's also written by Jason Aaron, who was writing Doctor Strange and Vader.
Wow, that's two good recommendations right there.
I know I didn't have my headset on for a second there. Did we miss Ant-Man? Because Ant-Man was good.
Ant-Man was good.
You keep telling me how good Ant-Man is and his thing with the Blue Beetle. With the Beetle. The thing with the Blue Beetle would be a way different crossover, which I wouldn't mind reading. Come on, we're open-minded people here at the Long Box.
Yeah.
If Blue Beetle and Ant-Man want to do miniature stuff to each other, that's totally fine. We're talking more about Tombstone's daughter here. How many issues are we into that?
It's canceled.
Damn it. Yeah. Well, it's the graphic novel then. I don't mind when a good comic book gets canceled if I can get the graphic novel soon afterwards.
Yeah, it went into either the late teens or the early 20s.
All right, that's not so bad. So two graphic novels, I'll be able to get going.
Yeah, just look for Nick Spencer as the author on those.
Yeah. Gotcha. Anyone have any honorable mentions? I mean, I listed off a lot, so.
Just anything with the Star Wars name.
I did read the Poe Dameron one. Everyone says it's good, so I guess I got to try that, too.
I like Poe. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, he was so good in the movie. He was so good. We can't talk about it because Mike didn't see it, and we don't want any spoilers, but it was so good. Let's go to independent title. I'm sorry, image titles. This one's a toughie for me, unless you guys mentioned something I read and I forgot about. So, Mikey, why don't you start?
So, for me, my favorite image title is still the ongoing saga. Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples are continuing to knock it down every time an issue comes out. What about you, Josh?
For image, I had espoused Manifest Destiny as the continuation of my favorite image book. They're still going strong. I think they're still doing good. I'm pretty far behind, though. I'm probably half a year behind on Manifest Destiny right now. So I'm hoping they're still doing the good work up there.
Who published Sex Criminals?
That is also Image.
That's also Image.
Oh, good. I got a favorite. Image, Sex Criminals. I love Sex Criminals.
As a matter of fact, Chip Zdarsky, one of the writers on Sex Criminals, announced today that they are going to be putting out a new issue of Sex Criminals soon.
Excellent. What a fun premise. Kind of silly at some points, but dead serious at others. Nice balance between humor and, straightforward kind of action comedy. I really enjoyed Sex Criminals, so I'm glad I remember that Sex Criminals was Image. Tommy, what was yours again? I forget.
I really like – I haven't picked it up recently, but I really like Elephant Men.
Oh. Wait, Elephant Men or Elephant Man?
Elephant Men.
I thought it was Elephant Man.
Oh, you're thinking of a movie. This is a comic book.
Much
different.
You're
thinking of the movie, yeah.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, stop. Josh, stop scratching it.
Sorry.
If you keep scratching, it's going to get worse. All right, so Elephant Men.
Elephant Men.
It's great series. As my honorable, I'll also say Manifest Destiny. I finally picked up a few issues. I want the phone book to come out because I'm so far behind. I picked up like three issues where the Moss thing attacks, and I'm like, wow, that's super cool. And I like the Lewis and Clark angle. I like the whole thing, but I feel kind of lost in the weeds. No pun intended from the Moss creature attack.
For my honorable mentions, I'm going to say The Wicked and Divine.
That was awesome. Was that this year?
Yeah, it's been out this year. And if Jason Aaron would ever write Southern Bastards on a regular basis, that's a phenomenal image series. And then The Rat Queens.
So I have an honorable mention, but I don't know where to go ahead.
I have just one quick question. Sorry. Who did Girls?
The Luna Brothers, and I think that was an Image comic, but that was from a few years ago.
That was a while ago, though.
That was a few years ago. That was great.
That was great.
Never mind. Sorry. Go ahead, Josh. Sorry.
So, yeah, this is – I might be straying into the next category a bit here. Skybound, are we calling that Image or are we calling that independent?
It's an Image.
It's a faction, but they bought it.
Right, yeah. So I'd say, yeah, you could go with that.
Okay. So if you guys haven't read Extremity yet, I would say go read Extremity. It's a good book. It's like kind of like post-apocalyptic, exceptionally violent, just this ravaged world of pseudo-fantasy and science fiction. It's a lot of fun. It's a good read. And I'm going to use that for both an image and an independent title, because I don't think they own Skybound at the beginning of the year. It's my guess.
It's a good guess. All right, well, let's go over to, since that's a nice segue, let's go over to independents. Josh, was that your independent pick, or do you have another one also?
That was my independent pick, and honestly, I didn't realize that Skybound had been bought, acquired.
Yeah, neither did I, really. I don't really keep up with that nearly as much as the rest of you guys. Tommy, what's your independent pick?
Rick and Morty.
The comic book, is it good?
I love it.
I've never read the comic. I mean, I love Rick and Morty. Me and Josh talk about Pickle Rick!
Pickle Rick!
I'm Pickle Rick! We talk about Pickle Rick and show me what you got.
All right.
No.
Not, especially not with that rash on.
Yeah, that's none of that could be good.
It's not good.
So yeah, the comic book's really good, too?
The comic book is just as good as the TV show.
Wow.
As good as the TV show.
All right. Because that TV show is pretty damn phenomenal.
That TV show is pretty darn good.
Long-down accusations like that. Yeah,
especially when you got a couple toots in you. That's a damn fine cartoon.
It's true. I mean, I have already pre-ordered both of the Pickle Rick Funkos.
That's awesome. Independence for me, that's a toughie for me to pick because I love a lot of weird independents this year. There's a real stupid one called Frank N. Stein, Criminal Investigator, which I picked up at a con. And it's just, you know, it's a lot like The Goon. The style is very much like The Goon, too. But he's like this criminal investigator, and half the city is monsters, half the city is normal human. He kind of traverses the line between both, and he's a criminal investigator. It's a lot of fun to read. I only have like four issues, but it's terrific stuff. And I really and almost on the exact opposite end of the spectrum, I really love Love and Capes. Love and Capes is a fun – I don't want to call it stupid because that seems demeaning, but it's kind of a light, fun comic book. I fly through them whenever I grab one up, and this is not my normal comic book. This is an on kind of romance comic book with a little bit of superhero stuff thrown in, but the fun and the artwork so kind of peppy and happy and nice that it really just sucks me in. Every time I see a new Love and Capes, I always pick it up. Mikey, what do you got for independence?
My top pick is Black Hammer by Dark Horse Comics.
I've heard so many. Yeah. I gotta get Black Hammer. Everyone tells me how good this stupid thing is.
It is. It is a very
good. That is a good pick.
I get it.
That is a very good pick.
Yeah, I I've got a bunch of honorable mentions, as I think we all do. I know Four Kids Walk Into a Bank by...
That was a drink.
Friend of the podcast, Matt Rosenberg. He doesn't... I guess he doesn't have time to work on it as much as we'd like. The issues come out really slowly. I know it's an independent comic, so you got to be patient with that. But by the way, Matt Rosenberg just got picked up to be a writer on The New Mutants. Not the movie, but on the comic book that's going to be coming out.
Oh, good.
Because Marvel has finally decided that mutants are better than Inhumans, and they're releasing a couple more X-Men titles. X-Men Red and...
They're out of colors. It's got to be X-Men Square, X-Men Triangle.
Oh, and you're going to love this because we just talked about the dead Jean Grey a few weeks ago. They're bringing Jean Grey back, and she's going to be the leader of the X-Men Red Team.
It's Madeline. It's Madeline.
Of course she is.
It's Madeline Pryor. Don't be fooled.
And this is in addition to the young Jean Grey, right?
Of course, yes.
Of course.
Naturally.
Sorry.
Because there is the old ghost Jean Grey in the young Jean Grey comic book currently. So, of course, they're bringing back Jean Grey as the leader of an X-Men.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent, but I've also really enjoyed Knights of the Dinner Table this year, as always.
Knights of the Dinner Table, always a lot of fun to read.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Dungeons & Dragons, it's just a fun comic to read. It just brings you back to the days when you were a teenager sitting around your buddy's house and being stupid.
I have one complaint about Knights of the Dinner Table. You guys ready? One complaint?
Sure.
I don't see them all the time at the comic book stores, and if you just pick up a random issue, they don't do continuity very well. They, you know, all their stories seem to like build on stories, and the arc seems to be very important. I wish they had a little bit more one-shotty dealios in the comic books. Like half the comic book could be getting that big story arc going, but let's have some stuff for people who just grabbed it up. But I do love the stuff at the end where there's like, hey, this month's tricks and traps and all that stuff is terrific. And Tales from the Dinner Table is one of my favorite reads of all time. Sorry, did I bring the podcast to a screeching halt with my slight criticism?
You son of a bitch. Knights of the Dinner Table is an American treasure, and you will treat it as such.
All right. Anyone got some honorable mentions? I'm actually pretty sure we do. Anybody?
For Independence, I have one. I even pulled it out. Excuse me while I whip this out.
I was going to say, good man.
And you know what? I left him in the living room, and I can't remember the title name. Can't do it.
Is it Ether?
Can't remember it.
All right.
What's that?
Is it Ether?
I do love Ether. Ether's great. Is that Independent? I don't even know who publishes it, but it's freaking amazing.
That's,
who does science? What's the one that you guys can tell me about?
First Law of Mad Science?
Nope. That's a good one, too, but which is the one where it's like every issue deconstructs a genre of the mad scientist
Black
thing?
Science.
And that's it. Is that Independent?
Black Science? Yeah, that's an Image.
Yes.
Black Science is good.
I finally read one. It was really good. Any other for that? Nope. All right, I'm going to throw you a curveball because I saw on Mike's list that he didn't have something that I really enjoy, and I think we all enjoy also, and that is online comic strips. So does anyone have any favorite online comics? I'll go first because I'm kind of springing this on you. I've really enjoyed Questionable Content this year and Penny Arcade. I think those two online comics are just going gangbusters. Always fun to read. I read them every single morning, Penny Arcade 3 times a week, Questionable Content 5 days a week, Sinfest 7 days a week. I don't know how he keeps cranking them out so fast. Those are three of my favorites. Diesel Sweetie is another one. There are some great online comics out there, and I hope people are reading them. Josh, what do you read every day?
I actually bulk up. I can't do the once or two strip a week thing. So I actually set a reminder in my calendar, and like I read comics like every 3 months, and I just go back 3 months and I read them all.
But Penny Arcade is so timely. I mean, they're talking about stuff in the industry.
Yeah.
And you can go back 3 months?
Yeah, I go back 3 months, yeah.
Because he can remember 3 months earlier, unlike you.
Yeah,
so
perfectly
capable. But it's pretty obscure stuff. Like, you have to remember, I remember the Electronics Arts president was ousted 3 months ago, and that's why this comic is funny.
Yeah. So I do that with Penny Arcade, Order of the Sick.
Yes.
Table Titans. You don't like Table Titans, really?
Table Titans, Minions, I love.
Yeah.
But Table Titans is kind of hit or miss for me. If it's the other group, I don't like it that much.
Yeah.
If it's Minions, and the core group, I like it.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, I'm just hoping that my negligence in reading it every day for the PvP guys doesn't have me beset by dick wolves. That's really my
dick are coming, my friend.
I do want to avoid for the rest of my life. So, you know, I just do the best I can.
PvP really is a...
Yeah, PvP and Order of the Stick are really the big... I've always been the big ones for me. Yeah.
PvP is a great story arc right now with Scratch Fury and the Infinity Holiday Gauntlet.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, get every Scratch it. Fury every freaking Christmas. And as we know, Scott Kurtz, the PvP guy, he drew the dragon on my Iron Fist costume.
He did. That's true. That is correct. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
All right, LT, how about you? Do you read some online comics?
I don't really read a lot of Iron Gallant comics, to tell you the truth.
That's too bad. Oh, and every Sunday, by the way, Ogloff. It's a filthy, filthy comic, but everyone should read that too. So, LT, you don't read any?
Sorry.
All right, that's okay. How about you, Mikey?
I'm with Josh. I'll just binge every once in a while, PvP or Order of the Stick, but those are really my only two.
I really say that you should really give questionable content a shot. That's a great, great, a lot of fun. And every Sunday, it's a once a week, Ogloff, ogloff.com. This week's comic strip is hilariously funny. It's about two guys in a dungeon who the new Pope says he doesn't trust torture anymore. So they try to seduce information out of someone, and it is hilarious. It just might be my sense of humor, though. All right, so moving on to Mike's list, let's go over to one-shots, miniseries, or graphic novels. That kind of covers a lot of stuff, and there are a lot of good stuff this year to talk about. Why don't we start with you, Josh? What was your favorite one-shot, miniseries, or graphic novel?
I don't know. I don't really have one, I think.
Okay. Really? There were some good ones.
Yeah, I just don't remember them. I don't know. Like, they're just the things I've read. I've been so much trying to catch up on comics since we started the podcast that sometimes I get like behind and I start like rush. And now, like, I don't even remember like what was this year for one shots, or did I read it because Mike recommended it last year, or like for the one shot things, they just fall into like this into my bin, and I just sort of reach in and reach out, and I'm not sure. Honestly, I don't know. So
I bet I can name one.
Hopefully, yeah. Let's do that.
Dr. Aphra, that was this year. That was a miniseries.
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, that's so good.
It's so good. It's in a bin. I guess I'm gonna pick the bin up right now. It's all in there.
Well, how about Poe Dameron? Was that this year?
It was last year.
It was a four. It was a miniseries, wasn't it?
Oh no, I'm like 20 issues into Poe Dameron. I don't know what you're talking about.
Series.
It is. I thought it was like Dr. Aphra. Well, I suck. Screw me.
Hey, this is Mike, the producer in post-production. Dr. Aphra is actually an ongoing series, so Tom really does suck. Now back to the podcast.
But there was a Doctor Strange miniseries with the Captain America crossover that I thought was really good, too.
That doesn't count. It's Marvel. They're going to restart a series every year and a half anyway.
That's a good point. Just any Marvel. Just name any Marvel title. Right. All right, smart guy, what do you got?
I got Low by Jeff Lemire. It lasted 19 issues. I consider that a miniseries. It was fantastic.
This from the man who tried to get me to read all of Cerebus in a week. So, yeah, I guess you would consider 2019 a 20 issues.
It was just three graphic novels this big. I don't know why you're complaining.
Yeah.
And by the way, none of you at home can see how wide I'm making that gesture, but it's big. Those graphic novels are big.
It is big.
Yeah.
It's not like Kirstie Alley big, but it's big.
But Low was so good that you'd want to binge it all and read it all at once.
Okay. Mikey, moving on to you.
Well, I just got to say, I got to check out Low because I'm a Jeff Lemire fan. But for me, I'm going to cheat and say the DC Looney Tunes crossovers that DC had, they were all phenomenal. They were all one-shots. It was Wonder Woman, Tasmanian Devil, Batman, and Elmer Fudd, Superman, and Bugs Bunny. They were all phenomenal. Martian Manhunter and Marvin the Martian, all phenomenal. The best part about it was it had the DC-style story in the front, and then in the back was a Looney Tunes-style story. They were phenomenal. Good job, DC and Looney Tunes.
So it was a mullet comic book? Business
that's
in the
right.
front, party, in the,
party
back.
In the back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does the button count as a miniseries?
You could call it a miniseries. Yeah, it was a crossover of two issues of Flash and two issues of Batman. So yeah.
I finally got to read a couple of those issues, and holy shit, was that good! You did not, you if anything, your 10-minute rant about how good it was when Batman was trying to hold off Dr. Zoom, undersold how good that was.
I agree.
And the artwork was fantastic in it.
Great.
The artwork was as good as almost anything I've ever seen. I mean, it was right up there with old Neil Adams stuff for me.
Yeah, I mean, I got to follow along with Mike there. I really enjoyed the WB crossovers there.
I didn't see enough. I didn't read enough.
Especially the Martian Manhunter and the Elmer Fudd one.
Someone get me the Elmer Fudd one. I cannot find it.
I have it. I will give it to you.
Thank you.
Yes, those were really – you're right, Mike. The Martian Manhunter one was very fun. It was like – because I love Marvin the Martian. But just the
– Do the voice, Josh. Do the voice. You do a pretty good one.
I don't know. I'm going to
do the Space 23 Q modulator. Come on, do it.
E23 modulator. So, but yeah, the Elmer Fudd one was written so well. It was just so on point with like how they slid the other characters in there and just made everything sort of work.
It was a noir. Yeah, it was a Batman noir comic. That's why
it reminded me of Brick.
Yeah.
It was noir. It was an out of place noir. And it was
high praise indeed. Brick was awesome.
And I do love that movie.
And of course, written by Tom King.
Yeah, that guy's killing it.
That guy's just phenomenal.
Let's start calling him friend of the podcast just so he'll befriend us.
Yeah. Let's find Tom King. All right, Tom. Time for the Cyberstalk. My apologies in advance.
I'm going to go with also the, as an honorable mention, the Flintstones, because I bought it as a graphic novel finally. And man, we all can't say enough good things about the Flintstones one. I find almost nothing, no fault with this comic book. I love the Great Gazoo is pretty much our intergalactic gamekeeper. I loved the monologue of Fred Flintstone talking about, you know, what marriage really is and why follow it. It's insanely good.
For my honorable mentions, I've got Dan Parent's Die Kitty Die, Hollywood or Bust.
Oh, great stuff.
Along with Atomic Robo's The Ring of Fire miniseries. Mm. Also phenomenal.
Still haven't gotten into that.
Atomic Robo, you're insane.
I got to get into it. Everyone tells me it's great.
Yeah, it is great.
Just want to know why?
Because it's great?
Yeah, that's why. Right. Precisely.
And everyone says it's a duck. It's a duck. Okay.
Soon, this might fall into next year's category because they haven't sent them out yet, but the last three issues of Chasing Hitler will be out soon from our good friend of the podcast, Haley Mintz.
Yes.
Did I say that name right?
I think so. You got the Haley part right anyway.
Absolutely.
Mike, I'm sorry. I'm blanking on the name of the title. Who wrote the one about the French medieval resistance fighters? That was a really good one too. You recommended that and I finally got that.
The Lion of Rora.
Thank you very much. Was that this year?
No, that was a couple years ago. That was Christos Gage and his wife Ruth Fletcher.
That's right, Christos Gage. I finally got around to reading that this year. Boy, that was a lot of fun. Well, it was fun. I don't care what you think.
Well, it was.
Any other graphic novels, miniseries, or honorable mentions on this one?
Yeah.
I'm kind of with Josh on this one. I can't remember what exactly came out this year and what came out years before.
Yeah, I'm looking at my pile of graphic novels, and I'm like, I don't know which ones I bought this year.
I don't know what came out this year. I don't know.
My Secret Santa at work gave me a long box full of graphic novels that I actually haven't read. Some really crazy manga stuff like One Punch Man and Blame and some great stuff. I'm really enjoying reading it, but I'm like, there's a whole other genre that I haven't gotten into enough because I'm just not into manga. And everything I've read so far in this box for my Secret Santa has been terrific. So we gotta expand out a little bit, man.
Yeah, we need a One Punch versus Superman crossover.
I would.
Already done that on a YouTube video, and One Punch Man won.
Well, because
he only needs one punch.
this whole bit.
Yeah.
Can't deny a guy else's whole bit.
My one bit. And every day I do 20 push-ups. And then I run 2 miles. His workout is nothing. Why? All right, fine. I'm going to move on. Best comic book based on a movie. Nope, I'm sorry. Best comic book based movie. That's a toughie this year. It's a good year.
It's a good year.
Good year.
Easy one.
All right, Mikey. Easy. Go ahead.
Logan. Logan's was far and away.
Well, wrong. I didn't even make my top three.
You probably haven't seen Logan. That's why it doesn't make your top three.
Why.
I saw Logan.
Then you are dead inside. If you
know what? You know what, Mikey? I'm going to say you're wrong. I'm going to say you're wrong. You know why, Mikey? Because you know what was better than Logan? Logan in black and white.
They did release a black and white version of the film.
They did release a black and white version.
And that had a little extra Johnny Cash in it, too.
Well Johnny Cash makes everything better.
It's true.
I'm going to have to see that now. damn you, Marvel, for continuing to get my money. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Fox. That's right. Oh, that's Disney. That's Fox. Oh, that's
everyone takes our money.
It's all the same.
Fine. We're nerds. Our money's up for grabs.
Well, Tom,
Josh, what did you think was the best movie this year?
I agree with Mike. Drink.
Yeah, I thought really? I just said look at it. Black and white.
Drink.
Well, I'll drink because you guys are drinking and I like to drink. I'm sorry. I got to disagree. I think Wonder Woman was the best superhero movie this year. I loved Wonder Woman. I thought it was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
I liked Wonder Woman. And then I read a particular review, and the woman's name who reviewed it, I can't quite recall. But I will tell you some of the things she pointed out were valid and made me got a little standoffish with the Wonder Woman stuff. One of the things that got pointed out was how and I hesitate to laugh because it's horrible. The one real black Amazon that shows up on the island is Tiny Diana's caretaker. So basically the only black Amazon was Diana's mammy in the first scene of the whole thing.
Wow, that's kind of horrible.
If you ruin this movie for me, you cocksucker. And that's pretty close to ruining a movie for me right there.
I'm just saying, I didn't pick up on it.
Jesus Christ. I'm not
a black woman reviewed the movie, and that was one of her complaints. She said, although they were there, they were still treated in a way that it was clearly not the way they should have been represented. And I agree. Like, after I read some of her criticisms of the film, I slipped into, like, looking at what she was saying and being like, maybe she's right.
Damn it, Josh.
I'll also ruin this. Grant Morrison pointed out that the Amazon culture has been around for thousands of years, yet they have no scientific developments whatsoever. They haven't even figured out how to make a washing machine. When Moulton Marsden's original books, the Amazons were so advanced scientifically, they had a frickin' invisible jet.
And healing rays.
And purple healing rays. And in this movie, they totally discounted all that and brought them back to the ancient times. And they never advanced past that.
I hate you.
And let us not forget that Steve Trevor could have been saved, but for two things. A belt and a parachute. Because all he needed was a belt to tie the yoke of the plane to the seat and a parachute to jump out of said plane. Because he was just setting that plane up to high. That's all he wanted to do was get as far away as possible.
Josh, would that have worked?
Sure. It's fairly easy to affix a plane into a straight and level flight as long as it's in good working condition. That type of plane jumping free with a parachute, as long as you knew what you're doing, you could. But there isn't a lot of room in that plane for a parachute, as parachutes were not as slim and slender as they are today. Plus, he just jumped into a plane from an airstrip. He didn't exactly have all the equipment he needed to get into that plane as he was escaping an enemy base at the time. So thinking that he could have gotten the formula, gotten a parachute, and then gotten to the plane without being noticed is asking a little much.
Plus, let me just point out that plane was supposed to – I mean, they stripped that plane down just to make that bombing run. So anything that wasn't needed on that plane was taken the frick out of that plane.
I'm just saying.
I'm pretty sure they weren't thinking about parachutes.
The man didn't need to die. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, he needed to die. All right, fine. Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor were tied for number two, and Logan was my third.
They were both good movies. Wonder Woman was a great movie.
I personally would have put
I was just shitting on it because Josh wanted to start shitting on it.
I would have put Spider-Man Homecoming before Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
You're retarded.
Really?
I didn't mean to use that word. It's a terrible word, and I won't use it again.
Oh, Spider-Man.
You're a terrible human being.
Spider-Man.
You can use the word Spider-Man. It's okay for that movie.
It was better than Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and
Thor. Without Spider-Sense, it wasn't better.
Are you kidding me?
It wasn't better than Thor, but I think it was better than Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
You guys are missing the third best movie of the year, which was Batman Lego.
Oh, no. Yeah, you are on. I'm totally on. Batman Lego. Lego is definitely better than Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy.
No.
I haven't seen it yet, so.
There's no way Spider-Man Homecoming is better than Thor or Guardians of the Galaxy. You people.
No way.
Off your rockers.
Batman Lego was pretty excellent. I'll give you that.
Lance.
But I don't.
We just did our movie podcast a couple episodes ago. Let's move on.
Right after the Angel podcast, if I recall.
Right before Angel.
All right.
Man,
let's
Josh
move on because
was
I think we're
so drunk for that Angel podcast.
Yeah, I think we're getting a fist fight if we keep going. Let's go with best comic book-based TV shows. This is going to be a toughie because there was a lot of pretty good TV shows.
I would say even just what I saw of Legion in the beginning. Legion was this year, right?
Yeah.
I think
Legion was good.
I haven't finished it, and even though I'm still behind on a bunch of the hero TV shows, I think it's Legion.
I honestly think Legion was the best made. I mean, a lot of thought, a lot of good writing, great acting. But it wasn't my fave. Tommy, what do you got?
I still really like Daredevil.
Great. Daredevil's great. There's no reason not to like Daredevil.
Was Daredevil this year?
Daredevil. Sure. Season 2.
Oh, season two
came out this year.
I thought it was this year.
Early this year, but yeah.
I thought it was here. Was it not?
90% sure he's right.
I don't know.
I love shitting on top, but I think he's right.
I thought this year was the Defenders and Iron Fist and Luke Cage.
Oh, there was some Iron Fisting this year. Don't get us wrong, but I thought it started with Daredevil.
If only there was some magical box
that
we could type in and find out. 2016, March of 2016.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Last year.
Wrong, LT. You suck.
Damn it. I wanted something good to be this year.
It definitely was not Iron Fist or the Defenders.
Damn it. I wanted a good Netflix show to be this
year.
There
were a couple of bright spots in Iron Fist.
Yeah, it ended.
But you don't like those bright spots.
Is that the bright spot you're talking about?
When the plane crashed.
Hate. You guys are all drinking Haterade. There were a couple of bright spots.
I know. I mean, that iPod survived that long.
Oh, you cocksucking son of a bitch, bastard, fuck face. Mikey, what was your number one pick?
My number one is The Flash. Although last season, which was, you know, January through May, it was bleak as hell. This season, it has turned around and become a good, fun comic book show again. And they freaking introduced the Elongated Man, even though they're not calling him that yet. He's actually been complaining that nobody's given him a name yet, although they suggested Plastic Man, and he was like, that name sucks.
Cisco's going to give him a name.
I got it wrong.
Ralph Dibny is phenomenal. He makes that show. I would just watch Ralph just bounce around town. I would be so happy with just that TV show.
You want to watch a TV show called Ralph? It's Ralph. Yeah. Ralph. It's Ralph. Yeah. He's bouncing around. It's Ralph.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal. Yeah. I'd watch the shit out of that.
I'm with you.
All day.
So, Tom, what was your favorite TV show of the year?
I don't want to say. I honestly don't. Because I don't want you guys to yell and scream and be dicks.
About what?
We're not going to be dicks.
You're going to be dicks about this.
No.
That's cool.
No. Matt, you got your title to your opinion. We respect that. Don't diss what you hate.
I like the defenders.
Hey, that's fine.
I respect that, man. I respect
it. I did. I mean,
some people like Bud Light.
Thank you. There's. I mean, I enjoy the defenders. I watched the whole thing. I didn't binge it because I don't really binge that well. But you know, I enjoyed it. I am distracted by how bad the martial arts of Iron Fist is.
I mean, 75% of it was great.
Yeah, he cannot. And I hate to keep pointing this out because I think I mentioned this in our Angel podcast. He cannot even sit in a lotus position without four or five towels under his butt propping him up.
Yeah.
That's insane. Just, I know you went with an actor.
Stop dissing the defenders. We are not dissing it. You're the one.
You're downing on the defenders. I love
Madame Gao. Madame Gao is crazy scary. I wanted Sigourney Weaver to pull off some badass shit, and she didn't. That disappointed me a little bit. I thought, all right, Sigourney Weaver, you're going to do something crazy.
Come on, Iron Power soon.
Oh, yeah.
I understand, man. You're like, oh, here it is. It's the Defenders. Where's that iPod going to fit into this? And it never showed up.
Oh, you prick bastard. I did enjoy the Defenders. A lot of people didn't like the Chinese food restaurant scene. I thought that was hilarious for 90% of it. And I enjoyed it a lot. So I'm going to have to go with the Defenders. I loved a lot of Gotham this year. A lot of Gotham was really good. There's a lot to love out there.
I agree.
And it was really good.
I haven't finished it yet, but I'm enjoying Punisher.
I haven't finished Punisher yet either.
I'm only like five episodes in. The other honorable mentions I'll make are, of course, Gifted is not as bad as I thought it would be, but it's also almost it's hard not to differentiate it from the first season of Heroes. It's almost, it's kind of painful in that way. And so if they don't avoid the pitfalls that Heroes found, then they're going to find themselves in the same place. And The Runaways. I've been enjoying The Runaways.
Yeah, that counts as this year. I just finally watched the first episode, which I hear means nothing unless you watch the second episode.
Yeah, so, I'm five deep on The Runaways, I think. It's okay.
Yeah, it's good.
I got to watch that second episode because I hear that's where it starts picking up. Watch the first and then watch the second, everyone tells me.
Yeah, I agree. Runaways and Gotham were my two honorable mentions. Although I actually enjoy just about everything on the CW as far as the superhero shows go because that Crisis on Earth X.
I was going to say the Crisis on Earth X I liked.
Was really good.
I'm going to jump over to that, yeah.
What is that from? What? Crisis on Earth X. So is it a crossover?
It's a crossover with Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Green Arrow, and Flash, where they have to fight the frickin' Nazis of Earth X.
Huh.
And it's not.
I love fighting Nazis.
And you know what the best part is? Normally, these heroes are very hesitant to kill, except Nazis. They got no problem
killing Nazis.
A whole zombies bunch and of Nazis.
Dude, Nazis, zombies, and robots.
Yeah.
Go ape shit.
That's right.
Sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to titillate you there. All right. Any other honorable?
Gorilla Grodd was in Legends of Tomorrow.
Terrific. Oh, he was?
Yeah. And the Bwana Beast was in it. I mean, Legends of Tomorrow had a lot of just... Oh, that's
I got to start
cool.
watching this.
A lot of guest stars.
I can't watch that show, though.
It's not a great show.
So
it's, just all the Easter eggs they put in for me is worth it for me.
That's not the appropriate adjective, though. Not great is giving that show a lot of credit.
All right. Let's move on, my friends. Let's move on to favorite con memories of the year.
Oh.
And we had a lot of good con memories this year. We went to a lot of cons. I loved riding around like a drunken idiot, and we were drunken idiots whenever we got onto one of those golf carts.
Yeah. You can remove the word like from that sentence.
Yes. We were just drunk idiots. If anyone's not been to Pensacola, Florida, we're going to be there this year at Pensacon again. We're going to be doing a great panel with Tony Isabella called An Intimate Evening with Tony Isabella. And there are these things called gopher carts. You can just call these guys up, and they will give you a ride around Pensacon just for tips in these golf carts. And you can keep drinking. They don't stop you. We had a great time on this trip.
I have to say, Pensacon was fantastic. It was a great con. Mm-hmm. And I can't even remember now, but I had to drive to Best Buy with like 11 minutes before our presentation to get like 6 miles through a downtown area, purchase something, and get back. And we had the Batmobile, the rental. We had a brand new black Dodge Challenger for our rental car. And,
Eight cylinders, I recall.
That car did its job because nobody in Pensacola, Florida will remember or forget that my Mr. Toad's Wild Ride to Best Buy.
Another great thing about that is we flew into Atlanta because it was cheaper to fly into Atlanta and drive into Pensacola, where we picked up that Dodge Challenger on a whim. And we had a great road trip. That was a fun road trip.
We'll do it again.
Oh, let's do it again.
I loved at Pensacon our trivia contest. Because, first of all, getting there, because we were out to eat with Ian and Tammy Leno and their friends, having a delicious meal when somebody's like, when's your next panel? We're like, oh, it's not until 8 o'clock. They're like, you know, that's 15 minutes from now. And we're like oh,
what?
Shit.
What?
Drunk Michael is not as speedy as I would like to be. Yeah, you tell him, Dodger.
Yeah.
But we made it in time, and we gave away a ton of shit that was in my closet that I needed to get rid of.
That's right. Mike's Closet Reclamation Project 101.
We made it in enough time for that panel that I had time to run to the bar in the hotel that panel was in, get drinks for us, and by Nen, the artist Nen, a drink, zip down to our panel with the drinks for us.
And we ran into a celebrity at that bar who was really interested, and we were trying to talk her into coming to our panel so she could continue. Her and her cougar friend, who was really into LT.
Crazy, LT. If you were a married fella, you would have been like two elbows deep.
She was.
If I were a married fella, I would have given up on trivia.
As well you should, my friend.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, Pensacon might have been my favorite of the year. But, of course, Wizard World New Orleans was a hilarious time, too. Always a lot of fun there.
My wife's first con.
Yes. Your wife's first con?
She enjoyed it so much, we're going back again.
Yeah. Terrific. And, man, we had a great condo.
Yeah.
That crazy Brady Bunch, yes.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Speaking of Wizard World, we are actually giving away two free 3-day passes to WizardCon in New Orleans, January 5th, 6th, and 7th. All you have to do to win those passes is write in to LuckyBastard at OutsideTheLongBox.com. And if you're not lucky enough to win that, you can still get 20% off your tickets when you purchase them online and use the code LONGBOX20. We have already paid our tickets to get our photos with Stan Lee. And I can't wait to dress like Martian Manhunter and get my photo taken with frickin' Aquaman.
You're getting your picture taken with
Momoa?
Yeah. I was really not pondering it, but I just got a bonus at work. So I'm like, well, I guess now I will.
Now I will.
I'll take a look at that. I might do that one. What the hell?
Last year, your wife, Christina, was nice enough to take my photo when I wanted to get my photo with Jewel Stady. Jewel Stady is so pretty in person that I had nothing to say because I was flummoxed. I was like, hi.
You're a pretty lady.
I couldn't even get that out. I was like, I didn't want to be creepy, so instead I was creepy.
Good choice.
Josh, you have a little you've done that a couple of times. Who was the long, uncomfortable hug with?
Oh, What is her
Battlestar
name?
Battlestar Galactica Girl.
No. Starship Troopers.
Starship Trooper Girl, that's right.
It's,
Dina Myers.
So, yes, I approached
So
Dina
you actually
Myers.
Approached and said, what?
I said, if it's allowed, I would like to give you a hug with the pre-knowledge that it's going to be long, it's going to be uncomfortable, and someone might have to pry me off of you. And she still let me hug her.
That's a brave woman.
That is a brave woman.
It is.
Like, that was a lot of caveats, right? Like, I just threw that out there. Yeah. And she was like, bring it in. And I was like, ugh.
Well, she was on the Birds of Prey, so she's got some balls.
She got some balls. What was the con that we went to that was kind of local that was me, LT, and Josh?
You mean Super Mega Fest?
Super Mega Fest.
It was a Worcester. It was the Worcester Comic Con. It wasn't Super Mega Fest.
That was a good one too.
It was a good one.
The one in Worcester was a good one too because we had our own fan table and we saw Booker T and he gave us a little wave and we had this table. Yeah, we had this kind of fun.
It was Massive Con.
That was a good man, JLT. That was a fun one, too. I really enjoyed it. We didn't do any panels whatsoever at that one, which is
one.
A rarity.
We did one.
We did?
We did what one. We there was like 10 people that showed up. There was no projection system.
Oh, I remember. Pass
around the laptop.
I was carrying my laptop around to show people.
That's right. We did lame supervillains.
Or lame supervillains, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and somebody joined us on this panel, and that panel, and she was fantastic. What was her name?
She was hilarious, yeah.
You remember who that was?
A comic book store.
What's that?
She owns a comic book store.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
No. It was Christina. She ran a panel. She ran a online course at the Smithsonian Institute.
Yes.
Her name is Dr. Christina Hewlett, and she's hilarious and terrific. And I remember her now. Yeah,
yeah, she was great. She was great live on stage.
Yeah, I took two of her online courses. One was on civil rights and social justice issues in comic books, and one was on female stereotypes in comic books or the woman in the refrigerator, which is another great online course I took with her.
And Massive Con comes back next year, June 23rd and 24th in Worcester, Massachusetts. Don't try and miss it. It's a good con. I think it's an up and comer. It's a good space, and we liked it.
It is. It was a good space. There wasn't a lot. There wasn't enough there that last year. Hopefully, we'll build it up a little bit.
Last year was only their second year, by the way.
Year three. That's when we start building.
It's year three. Yeah.
All right. Anyone else got an honorable mention there? I think I already threw out some honorable mentions.
Well, as far as meeting comic book writers and artists, MegaCon down in Orlando was actually the most amazing con that I went to. I got to hang out and talk to Greg Rucka, Jimmy Palmiotti, and Amanda Connor were there.
Oh, they were so nice to you.
They were so nice at Massive Con when I talked to them.
Jason Aaron.
They were amazing.
Tom King, Scott Snyder. Stan Lee was there. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he went rogue and lost his handlers and went down drove down Artist Alley just looking for guys he knew to hang out with. So, yeah, MegaCon was phenomenal.
Yeah, he took that rascal off-road.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, also at one more honorable mention, when Josh and I decided to do our own fight scene at Pensacon after the fight scene that we saw.
Oh, yeah, the battle, right? Yeah, that was Captain America vs. Wonder Woman at Pensacon. That's an honorable mention. If you haven't seen this live staged choreographed combat between a man dressed as Wonder Woman and a man dressed as Captain America in probably the worst.
Don't be a hater. Nobody gave them any feedback before they did this.
The performance I've seen in some time. How about that? Very brave.
Someone should have given them some feedback.
Yes.
Other than their
some
mom.
Freaking point. All right, that's enough of the haterade.
It's enough.
Last but not least, guys.
Yeah.
What was your favorite podcast that we did this year?
Well, I think our most well received was the Spider-Man Homecoming one.
We did get a lot of clicks on that.
But I think my favorite one was got to be the Angel.
The Angel was great. right.
We really Josh knocked it out of the really park drunk. When we talked about the Angel.
Oh, my God. You were so drunk, Josh.
But Josh was very, very drunk. And he was a mean drunk. But it was still, it was a lot of fun.
I know which one Tom's going to choose because he's a bastard.
I am a bastard. I'm going to choose Longbox Guys, episode number 64, when we made Mike cry about his dead partner. and we also talk about lackeys. But for honorable mention, I just want to mention the one we did about vehicles. I really enjoyed talking about all the stupid vehicles that superheroes and supervillains have ridden over the years.
Pocket a car?
Hey, you gotta park this car.
I thought we had a lot of good podcasts this year. My favorite, personally, was Lackeys up until Josh made me cry, you son of a bitch. but I because of that, I would then go with episode number 76, The Foes of the Fantastic Four. I thought that was a really good episode.
That was a fun one. I like that one.
It's good.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say honorable mention for me was our Teen Titans podcast, episode number 65.
I'm going to go right to the beginning of the year almost and say episode 51 for Archie Comics, just because Archie Comics always have sort of a you know warm spot in my heart because of my grandfather's association with him. The other one I liked, now I'm trying to remember, was the episode 53, Black Superheroines, because I got to talk a lot about Storm.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. My honorable mention, I'm going to talk about episode 74, Captain America's Enemies, mostly because I got to talk about Batrak Zilliper.
That's right.
You know what? I am going to have – I'm sorry. I have changed my mind on the best comic book-based TV show. I completely forgot about it. Riverdale is my guilty pleasure. It is a teen drama angst, but they throw in so many Easter eggs for fans of Archie Comics. Like, there's a serial killer named the Black Hood, which, for those of you who read Archie Comics, know Black Hood is one of the superheroes in their Red Circle line. And they form the Red Circle to fight the Hood. It's just really good. And they've even introduced... They haven't gone so far as to introduce Sabrina, but they've introduced her hometown. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Because they were like, you don't want to be there after dark.
Yeah, I gotta agree. Riverdale is a guilty pleasure. And don't get me wrong, I do feel guilty.
Oh, yeah. I feel a little dirtier every time I watch it. I gotta go take a shower, but man, yeah, it is so good.
I'm a few episodes behind, but I do like Riverdale.
Okay, good guilty pleasure. I like that.
That's a good call, Mike.
Good call.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've outed myself as a teen angst fan.
Well, that was a little tangential, and we're not going to do that this week because we're going super, super long. So we're going to go right over to plugs, unless anyone has anything else they want to say about how well this year went. Good year to be a nerd. Let's not downgrade that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good year to be a nerd.
2018 is going to be even better because we're starting it off at WizardCon in New Orleans in January. February, Pensacon. March is a great book by John Lewis.
You drunk bastard.
May, you guys are going to be in Philly, right? At Wizard World Philadelphia?
God willing.
June, we're going to do MassiveCon again?
Hopefully.
Yeah,
most likely.
Are you going to come up for MassiveCon?
August is going to be DragonCon.
Oh, yeah. So it's going to be a great year, guys.
It's going to be a great year.
2018, and we're going to incorporate this year.
That's right.
That's right. We're mostly looking for sponsors.
Yeah, if you want to sponsor us, go ahead and write to either Tom, Josh, LT, or Mike at OutsideTheLongBox.com. And we would be happy to shill for you.
Oh, we'll shill the shit out of you.
Speaking of shilling, I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com.
We love those guys.
We love those guys.
Those guys are awesome.
Going Home, one of my favorites of all times, and Ring Capacity, still on my playlist for every single long run I do. LT, anything to plug?
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodoxy. Hey,
Geekorthodoxy.com. Fine purveyor of t-shirts and other geeky things.
And
it may be too late to get stuff in time for Christmas, but there's always New Year's.
And they will be at PentaCon with us, as always.
Oh, that'll be great.
And at DragonCon.
Josh, how about you?
I will plug my local comic shop, Friendly Neighborhood Comics, in Bellingham, Massachusetts.
I have a question, Josh. Yeah. Is that place clean?
That place is clean.
All right. Awesome. As long as we're playing comic book shops, Kamikaze Eisner Award-winning Kamikaze, my local comic book shop, and a terrific place to go for all things comic books also. And I think that just about does it for this week on The Long Box, guys. It's been a pleasure as always, gentlemen. 2017 was a great year. Mikey, what do you want for 2018? Go.
I want us to do some more panels at different cons.
All right. Tommy, what do you want to do for 2018?
What do I want to do or what do I want?
Josh, what do you want to do with the Long Box guys in 2018?
I want us to get sponsorship.
If, after forming us as a corporation, we made at least $1 in profit.
Ooh. $1 profit. Do you hear that, corporate America? It's not a high bar.
We're coming after you, corporate America.
That's right.
All right. Well, that will do it for us this week on The Long Box, guys. Don't forget what Mike always says.
Don't diss what you hate. Promote what you love.
And don't forget what Josh always says.
This isn't my sector. No. Wait. No, that is what
I'm supposed to do. Something else, dumbass.
Yeah, I missed it.
You suck. Tommy, what do you got?
For just the cost of one cup of coffee per day, you could sponsor the Long Box guys.
Actually, that's not
good,
bad.
That's good. That might be your new catchphrase. That's actually the best catchphrase you've ever come up.
And remember, this isn't the podcast you want, but it is the podcast you deserve. Have a great year. 2017, Excelsior. 2018's got to be better. Dump Donald Trump. Let's go.
Next week, we're going to do a book club review of The Watchmen. So if you haven't read it in a while, go back out, crack open your copy, and reread it. And if you haven't read it before, what's wrong with you? It's one of the greatest American novels ever. See you guys next week. And remember, don't diss what you hate. Promote what you love.
We melt the highway miles away like sunfire. No stopping tonight.
I am neither condoning nor condemning the actions or inactions of others. I am just having fun with what we got.
Yeah.
Show me what you got.
Show me what you got.
I'm Pickle Rick!
I'm Pickle Rick!